Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Get your Bible or your app or whatever, however you want to follow today. If you'd like paper notes, the ushers are coming down and they'll raise your hand and they'll catch your eye and give you some paper notes. We're starting a new series today. I am so excited. Pastor really wanted to start this series, and I just had to talk him out of it. I said, you might be on drugs on Sunday morning, and we're not sure what you'll say, so we're not. Anyway, we're glad that he's here, he's happy, and he's doing good. You're okay, right, Pastor? Yeah, he's doing good. All right. And so we're going to be talking about the book of Philippians, and if you've got your app, you can open it up. There's notes there. The paper notes have just been passed out. If you've got your Bible, you can turn to Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to go there in just a minute. Our text this morning in the book of Philippians is Philippians 4:4. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Love that. Amen. One more time, let's just pray as we go to the Lord in the time of the preaching of the word. Father God, we thank you that tonight, or today, right now, is a special time in all of our hearts. The Lord God, you are going to speak to our hearts, our minds, drawing on our spirits. Let revelation come way more than what I am going to say. May the Spirit teach, train, encourage, challenge everyone who's listening, both online and here physically, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love the book of Philippians. I think all of you, if you've been reading your Bible, you have some relationship with the book of Philippians. It's fantastic. I can think of every single chapter, things that I have been meaningful to me my whole life. As we said, Philippians 4:4, rejoice, that challenge to rejoice. Philippians 3:14, my life verse, I press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Good King James verse there. And so in Philippians 2, we're talking about just be like Christ and have the mind of Christ. And oh, there's so much in there. Chapter 1 is what we're going to get to go into today. And we're talking about the book as a whole, introducing the thought of joy. The Philippians is really the book of joy and rejoicing. If you're taking notes, that's the first little blank there, joy. Philippians is the book of joy and rejoicing, as Paul refers to joy or rejoicing in 10 paragraphs out of the 4 chapters. That's the most significant topic in the whole book, joy. Also, he's writing in this book to encourage them to rejoice, not just about joy, encouraging them to rejoice. He wrote this letter while he was in prison in Rome between 61 and 63 AD. Not sure the time there, but somewhere in that time frame, he was in jail, in prison, in Rome, the end of the book of Acts. And so he's there, and he's writing this letter to the church at Philippi that he had spent so much time with as he founded the church earlier in Acts chapter 16. And so he wrote to them to encourage them to rejoice. He also exhorted them to be unified. Chapter 2, first couple of verses, be unified, be one mind. Then he told them in chapter 3 to be careful and watch out for false teachers, specifically the Judaizers that were saying that there is Jesus plus something else is going to get you saved. Well, we see that's a cult today. Jesus plus anything else equals salvation. That's a cult. And so we say, no, it's Jesus alone by faith, repenting of your sins, asking Jesus to be your Lord. Anything else is under the category of extra. No, that's not what the Bible says. Then we see in chapter three, the end, where he challenged them to press toward the prize. This is what the book is all about. And rejoice while you're doing it in chapter 4. And so we see that as an overview of the entire book. Today, as we look at chapter 1, I just want to talk about whatever happens. Whatever happens out of Philippians 1, verse 27, it says this in 1:27, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Now, that's out of the NIV. We'll get a lot of new living here in just a second. But whatever happens, that thought just grabbed me. And the more I thought about whatever happens, I've actually preached on the book of Philippians many, many times. And I looked at all my old notes and said, nah, those are all old notes. I'm going to do something different here today, get something fresh. And that phrase just jumped out at me. Whatever happens. And then I realized, looking back at the chapter, that that was the theme of the chapter, whatever happens. And so we're going to look at this now and talk about whatever happens. My first thought out of chapter 1 here is in verse 6, Philippians 1, 6. And my first thought is, whatever happens, God is at work within you. So if you're taking notes, that's the blank, within you. Whatever happens, God is at work within you. Philippians 1, 6. And I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. In other words, as long as you're breathing, he's working. So I appreciate that even though I wasn't here last week, we had an incredible service, and the youth were testifying, and I got the news, and I got it all, and so I'm happy that, man, there is such enthusiasm in the youth right now that carries over into the rest of the church as we're thinking about it, but I just want to make a clear statement. That's just a beginning. Today is just a beginning for every one of you. God is at work, and he's going to be continuing to work in you until the day he returns. So there is a lot of work to be done in your life, and God is going to do it. If you're breathing, he's working. Just want to get that in your thought and mind. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, God will make this happen. For he who calls you is faithful. God's called you. He's put his finger on your life and said, come on, serve me. You've responded. And so there's this God initiative. We call it the sovereignty of God. God's going to do this. He is faithful. He'll make it happen. I could preach on the sovereignty of God all day long. But as I'm thinking about the sovereignty of God, I'm reminded of this fellow years ago in a church that I was serving. They get mixed up because I've served 9 different churches in my ministry. So one of them in the past. So one of those churches there is this guy who really wanted to be a pastor. And me and the senior pastor were looking at him and said, well, Dad, don't know if you're called. And he says, no, I really want a pastor. I believe God's given me a word. I'm going to pastor. Yeah, well, let's pray about it and let's see. And just kept, I'm going to be a pastor. I want to be a pastor. And finally, he came with this plan. I want to go up to Hemet. And I want to, I might have said too much there. I want to go someplace north. I want to go someplace north, and I want to start a church. And we said, well, you know, gee. He says, well, I tell you what. I'm going to retire, and I really want your blessings, and I'm going to go whether you bless me or not. Well, he'd been such a pillar in the church. We said, okay, we'll bless you as you go, and we'll stand with you for 6 months. But, you know, we're just going to believe that God's going to really do this. Yeah, okay, I believe God's given me a word. And so he goes up to Hemet, and we don't hear anything from him. It's, a couple weeks down the road, still don't hear anything. Make a few phone calls, he doesn't answer. This is back before cell phones. So, yeah, make a few phone calls, he doesn't answer. Finally, I say, I'm going to go up there and check him out. So I'm going to go up there. I go up there and have a lunch with him. And I said, so tell me about the church. How's it going? Oh, man, God's doing great things. Really? Oh, I'm so glad to hear it. Man, you've been going what now? Almost 3 months? Yeah, almost 3 months. So tell me. So do you got a building? Well, no. We're meeting in my house. Oh, okay. In your house. Yeah. I got a back good patio there, and I was just meeting at my house. I said, great. So how many visitors you got every week? Well, not that many. Any visitors? No, we haven't had one yet. You've been going 3 months, and you haven't had a visitor. Okay, brother, so let me just ask you, how's your advertising campaign doing? Oh, it's going great, yeah, because God's doing it. I said, what do you mean God's doing it? Well, you know, God said he would build this church, and I'm believing God will build his church, and so God's going to build the church, and so I'm not advertising. How do people know you're meeting in your living room unless you tell them? Well, God's going to do it. He's going to sovereignly do this. I said, brother, come on, you've got to get out there, and you got to do something. You got to let the community know you got a church. No, God's going to do it. And we had an impasse. I mean, for the next part of the lunch, we're just butting heads. I'm saying, you got to do something. No, I don't. God's going to do it. You got to do something. No, I don't. God's going to do something. Finally, I left hanging my head, and I said, I don't know anything's going to happen. At the end of the 6 months, got a phone call. Yeah, well, we're still going. We're going to go strong, even without your support. Great. Have you had any visitors? No, not yet. But me, my wife, and my mother-in-law, we're doing good. Oh, Jesus. Nothing ever happened there. He was trusting the sovereignty of God when God was telling him, come on, legwork, come on, put some effort into it now. Come on, you take a step and I'll help you, but you got to take a step. He never took a step. Never built a church. You never heard of him. He went to be with the Lord and found out other stuff. So we're talking about the sovereignty of God. Yeah, we emphasize that. God is at work within you. But Colossians 4:17 gives us the other side of the story. Colossians 4:17 says, and say to Archippus, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. Come on, Archippus. It's almost like boom, boom, boom. Come on, Archippus. He wrote it down. Archippus, you must have been lazy. Archippus, you must not have been doing what you're supposed to be doing. Archippus, you got a slap for eternity here. Come on, Archippus. Come on, be careful to carry out the work, the ministry that God gave you. It's your responsibility. God gives the gifts. It's our responsibility to take care of the gifts. That's a principle from the beginning all the way to the end. That's the plan of God is somewhere along the line, you have to do something. Yes, I am so glad that God is at work within me. But somewhere along the line, I have to come along. I have to open the space. I have to say, yes, Lord, come and work inside of me. Because it's not all just his sovereignty. It's his sovereignty coupled with our initiative. So we say this, we can't do anything for the Lord without his help. Yet he has decided that without our willing involvement, ministry is not going to happen. Or we could just say this, without him, we can't. Without us, he won't. He decided. He could have used angels to save the whole world. He decided, I'm putting inside believers the word of reconciliation. He could have used angels to just change the whole situation. They're limited. I need the people. I'm working through the people. Come on, people. I need you. I'm working in you so I can work through you. So we see here this Philippians 1:6 now. And I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ returns. Yes, God's sovereignty. He's going to do something, but he's also expecting me to come along and be involved. Revelation 17:14, it's not in your notes there. Revelation 17:14 says, together they will go to war against the Lamb, but the Lamb is going to defeat them because he's Lord of lords and King of kings, and with him is his called, his chosen, and his faithful ones. Those are the ones that are in his army, that victorious army coming back. Who is it? It's his called and his chosen. That's God's part. His faithful ones is our part. He calls you, he chooses you, then it's up to you. Are you being faithful what God's given you to do, what he's told you to do? Are you saying yes and amen? Are you actually doing the word of the Lord? That is what I see here. My first thought here, he calls, he chooses, but we have to be faithful. Second thought here this morning, come down to verse 19. Whatever happens, he will deliver you. Verse 19 says, for I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. What is he talking about? My deliverance. We're going to get into that now. If you got your Bible open there, we're looking back a few verses, just going to read several verses here. What is he talking about? As you pray for me, I know the Spirit of God is going to come and this is going to turn out for my deliverance. What kind of deliverance is he talking about? Well, he's actually talking about physically, he was in prison and in chains. Let's look at that as we go back to verse 12. If you want to go back and get it, your Bible app or however you want to do that. I didn't. It's not on the notes overhead, so you're going to have to work with me. I did this intentionally. Get your Bible out, your phone, whatever you're going to do. We're going to read verse 12 down here. So verse 12. So we're talking about his deliverance. What is he talking about? He says in verse 12, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Could you put your name in there? What has happened to me, Steve, has happened to further the gospel. Well, you know, I'm not one to talk about myself that much, but I've done a few things in my life. I'm just thinking this morning that, man, it's over 230 international trips God's allowed me to be on. And all of those were for the kingdom. All of those were preaching and teaching the gospel, getting people saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, getting water baptized, training them up. So, yeah, I've done a few things in my life. But I'm looking at this and go, whatever has happened to me has happened to advance the gospel. How about for you? Whatever's going on in your world, has it happened so that the gospel is being advanced? I believe that God wants you to have a priority to advance his kingdom, not yours. Can you say amen to that? It's his kingdom. It's all about him and his kingdom. Your life needs to be bringing glory to him, and whatever happens in your world needs to advance his gospel. Verse 13, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard, praetorium, and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Now, you might not understand it out of that little passage, but Paul was physically chained to a soldier, a jailer. 24/7, this was his prison. He was in a rented house there in Rome, but he was in confinement. But his prison was that he was chained to a soldier 24/7. They would take shifts, and somebody else would hook up with Paul. And he was saying, sweet, I've got a captive audience here. And don't you think that he just preached the gospel to those guys until he was blue in the face? I'm so glad you're here chained to me. Yeah, let me talk to you. Well, yeah, I guess we got to. It's as a result that the whole palace guard and everyone else knows that I'm in chains for the Lord. 14. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Here I am, chained to a soldier 24/7, and I'm telling you I can rejoice. I'm happy. This is to further the gospel. I'm preaching to all these guards. Every one of the guards has heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is fantastic, he's saying. Look at verses 15 to 18. He says, now some's going to stir up trouble. 15, it's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. He's talking about those Judaizers he's going to belabor in chapter 3. He says, the latter do so out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing that is in every way, whether from false motives or truth, Christ is preached, and because of this, I will rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice. Paul, you're in jail. You're chained to a guard. Yeah, I'm going to rejoice. Do you see the shift in attitude? That wasn't a down thing for him. That was an up thing for him. Man, I get to preach to the guards. Who would have thought I'd have the opportunity to preach to guards? Man, what a fantastic opportunity. I'm chained to a guard. Talk about attitude shift. There it is. And those Judaizers are out there preaching Jesus, thinking they're going to make fun of me, make trouble for me. They're preaching Jesus, and so praise God for that. I rejoice over that. Then look down at verses 19 to 26. He's talking about his death. He didn't know at that time whether he was going to be released, but he was believing for it. He was hoping for it. History tells us that he did get released. He was delivered this time. The next time he was in prison in Rome, he didn't, and he died. But this time he did, and so he's talking about that in verse 19. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Could you let that phrase grab you this morning? What has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Are you stuck today? Are you needing a little deliverance in your life, whatever it might be, financially, emotionally, relationally, job-wise, health-wise, whatever it might be? Are you kind of in a stuck position? You need to grab a hold of this and claim this today. What has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. And you say, well, how could Paul say that? Because he knew that if he died, he'd be fully delivered. But until he's dead, he's gonna just preach deliverance. I'm gonna be delivered out of this situation. Verse 20. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If you can underline that in whatever device you're using right now, you need to underline that. That needs to be something that God speaks into your spirit, especially young people. I remember when I was in Bible college and this jumped off the page at me and I circled it. I didn't just underline it. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. He's looking at judgment from Caesar, possible execution, and he had to be thinking about that. If I die or if I don't die, to live versus death. For to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. All right, everybody with some gray hair in the room now. We got less time to live than we had behind us, right? So thinking, okay, to die is gain. To die is gain, yes. Yeah, all my aches and pains and problems, yeah, gone. But to live, wait. To live, can I still be fruitful while I'm living? Yeah, to live is Christ, to die is gain. 22, if I am to go on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. NIV flips that around, being fruitful for Christ. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body, convinced of this. Can I tell you my theme song? My theme song my whole life, wife can testify, mother can testify, who's in heaven, she could testify, she could. My life verse has been this: I'm immortal until I've done the will of God. Aren't you worried about going into the jungles, you know, and man, what are you gonna eat, and gee, what's gonna happen, and man, where are you gonna sleep, and what's gonna happen to you, and man, hey, I'm immortal until I've done the will of God. And then when I've done the will of God, God's going to welcome me home and I'll be fine. So that is my theme song. It could be yours as well. You are immortal until you've done the will of God, whatever that is, whenever that is. And then God will welcome you into his presence if you continue to do the will of God and if you continue to be fruitful for him. Can you say amen to that? I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Yeah, Paul says, hey, listen, whatever happens to me, he's going to deliver me. Whether by death or while I'm alive, he's going to deliver me because I'm staying it right now. God is a God of deliverance. God is a God of freedom. God is a God who helps me in all of my situations. Amen and amen. He will deliver me. Third thought out of Philippians chapter 1 that I'm looking at. Whatever happens, live as citizens of heaven. 127 out of the New Living says, above all, This is whatever happens, this is the way New Living translates it. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Ha ha. All right, tech team, you ready? Throw it up there. Today, I proudly live as a citizen of the United States of America. Yeah, okay, there we go. Today, we're celebrating July 4th, 1776, the day the Second Continental Congress unanimously adopted the Declaration of Independence that signaled the official separation of the 13 original colonies from Great Britain. Today, I celebrate living in a God-blessed country. My 230 trips around the world tell me every single time this is a God-blessed country. I am so grateful that I am here. Yet, Paul is saying now, live as a citizen of his kingdom. Okay, done with the flag now. All right, where's the Christian flag? Okay, yeah. All right, live as a citizen of his kingdom. Paul's saying, hey, I'm in Rome, but you are not, you Philippians. Yet still you in Philippi must act and live like a Roman colony because that is what you are. How much more must you act and talk like a citizen of heaven? Let me just give you a little historical background here. A Roman colony. So the Roman soldiers would go out, they'd conquer the world. And then an emperor several hundred years before Christ thought, man, what can we do for these soldiers? They're getting old, crickety, and can't defend themselves. Let's bless them with a little retirement. We will settle them someplace, give them citizenship, and let them be in a colony with our laws, our language. Latin was spoken in Roman colonies. Our language, our laws, our culture will be there. So they would retire soldiers, and 300, 500 Philippi had a group of maybe 4,000 retired soldiers living in Philippi. And it became official that the town was a, quote, colony. And everybody who lived in it was probably a citizen of Rome with benefits, like Paul had. See another class on that one. And so here we have Philippi is now a colony, and Paul is talking to them, and he says, I know what I'm saying when I say we've got to live as citizens of heaven. I know that you're completely surrounded with the culture and the laws of your community. If you will live as a citizen of heaven, you'll do good in that area wherever you're at. And I've seen this around the world. I had to grapple with this back in the 70s as I started traveling. Yeah, that was the 1970s. Yeah, as I started traveling, I had to grapple with this because the ugly American was popular back then. And I didn't want to be no ugly American. I don't know, anybody ever heard of the ugly American concept there? You know, we're loud, we're boisterous, we're demanding. Yeah, and so in the 70s, that was the thing. You didn't want to be. I came back from a trip to India once, and one of my elders came to me, and he says, Pastor, I just got a real problem with you traveling and trying to spread American culture. And I said, brother, I need to talk to you. I never spread American culture around the world. I spread kingdom culture. And don't you ever forget it. He says, well, yeah, but about the culture, when you're there, how do you address the culture? I said, if the culture needs to be confronted by the word of God, then I confront the culture with the word of God, and I stand on the word of God, and I don't care what's going to happen if it's in the word of God. Now, if I come to some place and they're doing something that's just kind of, I remember one time, what time is it? I got a little story time. Okay, a little story. I was there in Kenya. I was in Kenya, and interpreters there say, hey, we got something special for you today. We got some dances going on. Dances? Now, to me, in the 70s, dancing was a sin. Just saying. Okay. And so that's the way I was raised. Hey, listen, 2 weeks ago, I danced at my daughter's wedding, so whatever. So deal with it. But anyway, so back in the 70s, all right, back in the 70s, dancing was a sin to me. And so this pastor is saying, hey, we got our local people coming out here now. So we're taking you to this, it was a tea plantation. And it went for miles and miles and miles, Kenyan tea. It was a plantation. And we sat on this porch. And as we sat on this porch, they had the local dancers come in. And for 2 hours, they're jumping and dancing and drums. And it was singing. And it was like, I was in heaven. This is wonderful. Praise God for this dancing, you know. And so then the next day, that was Saturday, Sunday, I go to church. And those same dancers are now in church. And they're dancing in church. I go, whoa, what's going on here? Hallelujah. Well, I had to adjust a little bit, but I saw, okay, culturally, I'm okay with this. The Bible talks about dancing. Had to teach myself a little bit here. Okay, all right, we're dancing in church. Fine, praise God. Pastor Ben bebops around. Praise God, you know, hallelujah. If I had better knees, maybe I would dance with him, or maybe I wouldn't, but whatever, you know, hallelujah. So we've got this culture stuff going on now. And we're talking about here, we got to live as citizens of heaven. We are in the American culture right here, but I tell you what, we got a higher calling. Our higher calling is kingdom culture. We live by the laws of the Bible, God's laws. Jesus said in the as he came into the Beatitudes, he said, this is how we act in our kingdom. It's far stronger and more accountability than the laws of your kingdom, wherever you're at. And so I can travel all around the world, and I have, and I say, okay, their cultures or whatever. If I need to confront them with the word of the Lord, then I confront them with the word of the Lord. If I don't, then I say, praise God, whatever. Same with our culture. Come on, everybody. We need to confront our culture with the word of the Lord. We spoke about that last year in one of our series. We're confronting culture here in our society because we're living according to his kingdom and his rule. We're a citizen of his kingdom, and that's what God wants from every one of us. So my third thought there was we've got to live as a citizen of heaven. Last thought here. Whatever happens, you are not alone. Down in verse 30, it said, we're in this struggle together. Verse 30 said that. We're in this struggle together. Thinking of my whole message now. God's at work in you. Yeah. We recognize God's at work. He's going to deliver you. Yeah, that's God's part. Live as citizens. That's my part. That's your part. We've got to live as citizens in his kingdom right here, right now, all the time. And then finally, his final statement is, but you're not alone. You got brothers and sisters, and you got me with you here. Matthew 28:20, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Psalms 23:4, some of you can quote it. If I was in another culture, another nation, everyone could quote it. I don't know if you can quote it. You ought to be able to quote Psalms 23. But Psalms 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God is always with us. He's walking with us in the darkest times, in the best times. He is with us. And I'm going to finish by 2 Corinthians chapter 1, just looking at this passage here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, thinking this thought, you are not alone. Think about it today. You are not alone. If you need to look right, left, to look at the church family here, you are not alone. You're in this room here. We are calling ourselves Canvas Church, and if you're part of the church, great. We are not alone. If you're a visitor today, welcome to our family. We are a canvas. And so we're talking about, yeah, we're not alone, but also God is with us always. He's never going to leave us, never forsake us. He's with us in the darkest valleys. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. You ever wonder why you go through a tough time? Think about this. It's not just for you. He comforts us so that we can comfort others. I remember one time, one of the darkest periods of my life, young man, I was living in another place, and I remember walking down a road and just shaking my fist to God, God, why is this going on in my world? Now, I was on staff of a church, but as I'm shaking my fist to God, it was just a real time of trial for me. The next Sunday, I'm at church, and a guy comes up to me. He says, Pastor Steve, I just need to talk to you. This is what I'm going through. And I go, whoa, that's what I'm going through. And he said, this and this and this and this. And I went, whoa, that's identical to what I'm going through. And here he is. He's asking me, what do I do, Pastor Steve? And I said, brother, can I just be honest with you? I'm going through the same stuff. And all I can really tell you is I'm still alive. I got no words of wisdom, no counsel whatsoever. I'm still breathing. And since I'm still breathing, you can still be breathing. And he says, okay, okay. I went, whoa, really? Whoa. And a couple months later, he says, I'm still breathing. 6 months later, still breathing. A year later, still breathing. Went back to that church like 3 years later, and he looked at me, still breathing. We go through things so that we can comfort others. We're not alone in this. We are together in this situation. I thought they were going to give me the hook here. Okay. For just as we share, yes, team, come up, please. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we're comforted, it's for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We're in this together. Verse 11 sums up that passage by saying, we know that as you help us by our prayers, we're going to get through this. We're praying for one another, because we're not alone. You are not alone. Would you bow your heads with me? So we draw some conclusions here. Some of you might have been anticipating communion right now, and we're going to have that next week for sure, God willing. But right now, would you just focus on Him? Focus on Him right now. You've been struggling, going through some tough time. Know this, God's at work within you. He is at work today within you. And He's challenging you, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. God's at work. And He's going to deliver you. He will deliver you out of this situation. You can count on it. God's deliverance is a surety. What's your responsibility? Maybe today you have to confess, you know, I haven't really been living like I should be living for Christ. I've been fooling around, playing around, just discouraged. I just not doing it. May the word of the Lord be speaking to you today. And maybe you just need to be encouraged today that you're just not alone. Father God, we come to you. We present ourselves to you today saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for working in our lives. I thank you for the youth. Such a tremendous time a week and a half ago. May they continue to realize you're working in their lives. Thank you for those who are struggling here today, honestly coming before you and saying, God, I need your deliverance. We thank you that the promise is there in the book. Paul says, I'm confident. I've got hope. God's going to deliver me. You can have confidence and you can have hope. Help those today, Lord God. Father God, we just give our lives to you once again, afresh and anew, and say, oh God, work in our lives. Work in our lives. Would you stand with me as we're in this atmosphere right now? Would you mind just lifting your hands before the Lord, sign of surrender? God, we are recommitting our life to you, your plan, your kingdom, your will. Not our will be done, but your will, oh God, we pray. Thank you for encouragement from the scriptures and the Holy Spirit. And may we today encourage one another in you, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen, 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 amen. God bless you. Have a great day if you're here physically. We've got some goodies for you outside. Don't run off. Fellowship with one another. Bless one another in the name of the Lord. And it's cold, it's sweet, and it's good. And if you're live online, go to your refrigerator and get yourself a popsicle. Bless you all.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.